Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 21st of October, recording at 9:17 p.m. And yes, it's still British summertime. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights. And this being Friday, this is the big picture long-term audio, so I'll also take a look at the main directional moves on the week, with particular emphasis on today. Now, in Asia, stock market action has been mixed, quiet overall. A little bit of drifting, but not too much. Neither, certainly not leading at this stage in either volume or volatility. The European markets have been churning in narrow ranges following the gains of the two previous weeks, and we can say the same for the Americas, but this was of course near the upper side of the two-month ranges for the most part, and markets have been talking and guessing and debating the size of the support package to emerge from Europe over the weekend and quite probably throughout next week. But today, there was a burst of optimism in here. And today we have European stock market indices up quite strongly. The German DAX index is one of the top performers, if not the top performer, up 3.5%. That's 204 points on the DAX index, taking it up to 59.71. And the gains are solid throughout. The UK was up nearly 2%. In the Americas, Wall Street closed out near the highs. The Dow up 2.31%, the S&P up 1.88%. It was over 22 points, takes it up to 1238 and change. And the NASDAQ composite was lagged a little bit, but was quite firm, still up nearly 39 points. Against that background, you would not be surprised to hear that long-dated government bond prices weakened, and they've been drifting lower for the most part. Recently, albeit generally still within trading ranges, but they're near the lower side of those trading ranges. Now, it was a very good day. Now I'll go for the dollar first. That sounds like a tease, doesn't it? I'll mention what it was a good day for in a moment. But the U.S. dollar index fell very sharply here today. It had been range trading as well, losing a little bit of upside momentum, beginning to drift back in some instances. But it's well down today at 56.26. That puts the euro up to 1.39, and the Aussie's up to 103.56 here today. Sterling is better at 159.69. So less flight to the dollar's liquidity here on the optimism over the European situation, we could say. The industrial metals saw solid gains here today. Now, copper was battered yesterday, but it's regained that and more, I believe. with the price back up to $3.26. Palladium strong at $30 higher today, and that had been drifting, as had been platinum, but that's up 23 to 1514. Gold, which also took a knock this week, but it's up nearly 20 at 1640 and change. Silver up nearly a dollar at 31.28. I mentioned the industrial metals were all up today. And commodities down, well, I see soybeans and corn a little bit. That's pretty much it. Crude oil, WTI up to 87.69. Brent barely changed. It lost some earlier gains. Okay. So what's going on here overall? Well, the obvious point is that all eyes are on the European situation. And are you getting bored with that story by any chance? I am. And in the sense, I'm tired of talking about it and being asked about it and the preoccupation with the whole European situation. And if you're feeling similarly, then that may well indicate that it's losing some of its capacity to shock. And if that's the case, then we will have not a resolution to the crisis, of course, that takes ages and ages and ages, but we have an environment that people will regard as not apocalyptic, and that there that a long-term solution is in the offing. The unsettling aspect about all this, and we could get a reality check on Monday if politicians are stupid, and you can never be sure with politicians. Basically, they need to reassure the markets that they're unified and that they've got a big money plan rather than some chuck it under the bed approach to the serious, very serious problems. So, to say the uncertainty that I find uncomfortable is that we have to rely on political decisions here. And you know, you can, as I said, you can never be sure with what politicians are actually going to do. But if will counts, I would say, and I think it probably does, that they have the political will to be sensible on this, and they've had enough enough failed attempts at this to improve on the batting record a little bit. Let's hope they do. It'd be a little bit more interesting, a little bit more fun. Tactically, I think I would stay cautiously optimistic here. And what's interesting in the technical action is that the US stock market indices, which are so influential, the Wall Street leash effect is still very much alive and well, a major factor. When you look at the charts of the Dow and the S&P, you will see that the sort of consolidation, narrow consolidation, which I've been talking about this week, appears to have occurred, and it's also been followed by upward breaks by the S&P and the Dow index, breaks above those August and late August and September highs. And that's quite positive technical action, and it means that it makes it easier to see trouble were trouble to occur, because if the markets fell back next week and went right back through the lows of the week, then we'd have a little bit of an upside failure. But taking in today's action at face value, it's positive here. And what I'm also saying is that we would see trouble before markets had to fall all the way back down to the August, September, and early October lows. And the European situation is obviously going to be a big influence. Hopefully this is not a case of better to travel than to arrive. But the only thing we can add to that is we will see. But in terms of my own approach, and what I think is the best strategy in this type of environment, is what I was saying before I went away to the USA for the Contrary Opinion Forum and a short break. And that is that for the things that we like, the markets that we like, and at the top of the list of late have been the dividend aristocrat type plays, that we wanted to be nibbling on easing where possible. And with growth markets that you like, that it was also not a bad idea to nibble on a little bit more conservative basis there, because they're lagging at the moment. Now, this being, and I would stick with that policy overall. And looking around, we know that most of these European economies are already in or skirting the recession level. The USA is doing a little bit better. The point that concerns me the most, as I mentioned yesterday, is that the Asian markets do, I think, in no small measure to the China leash effect. And that's second in importance only to the Wall Street leash effect. But the Chinese A-share market leash effect is still negative, and that's been a drag on the sector generally. And it's understandable because we're still in that monetary tightening mode from China to India. And we have had some easing take place within the region. For instance, Indonesia, I think, lowered its rates last week. But China and India are hanging tough in here so far. And my bigger concern, bigger than policies in the U.S. Right now, and even beyond the European crisis, is my bigger concern is that China and India overplay the tightening, and in other words, stay with it for too long, and wind up triggering bigger growth slowdowns than they're bargaining for. Because the trouble with that, trouble with a tightening measure, is that the economy can show, will show a lot of resilience in the initial stages of the tightening, and then finally reach a capitulation point, particularly if something's going wrong elsewhere. Well, I'm airing my concerns here, as I often do in these broadcasts. But with Europe having the probably having the wherewithal for a long-term solution to many of its financial problems, and with the U.S. Not doing so badly. A lot of people felt that it was going to slip into recession in the third and fourth quarter of this year. I would say that's not looking likely here right now, but I will feel most more comfortable when I do see a change in monetary policy in China and India. And I think that that would help to underpin not only their own economies, but also the US economy for 2012, when again, some of the more pessimistic economists feel that the US could easily slide into recession. I think it could avoid that if we were to get rate cuts by China and India before year end. But they're going to do what they're going to do, and we will see. Now, long-term government bond prices. There's a real possibility of top development in those bond prices. In other words, bottom development in the yields. And I would stick to that view unless Europe gets it horribly wrong and we get just a massive sort of shift in sentiment further towards deflation. I regard that as an outside risk, but it's more of a risk than one would hope. I'm gonna have a quick drink of water. Okay. What about the precious metals? Well, The weaker US dollar in here today helped certainly the futures prices. It's still very much a matter of consolidation. And there would be contagion risks if Europe did get it horribly wrong next week. Excuse me. I'm fighting off a little bit of an infection I picked up in the US. Otherwise, fine. Now, looking at the other commodity markets, I think there's scope for oil prices to weaken over the next few months. That would not be inconsistent with the chart action. We have Brent in a gradually declining trend channel at the moment, and it would have to break the progression of lower rally highs to signal trouble. I certainly expect that at some stage, but probably not in the short term, and hopefully not in the medium term. As well. As a matter of fact, Brent might actually be a short here because I think with the Libyan situation changing now, okay, it'll take probably the better part of a year, if not longer, for Libya to get its full production back up to sort of say 1.6 million barrels a day. But really, the oil market ought to be anticipating that. And growth is not so strong that we should be seeing prices moving higher at this time. And then that U.S. shale oil is coming on gangbusters, and that's a story that's just not going to go away. And we have that slow progress in terms of the renewables programs, all heavily subsidized, all very expensive, of course. But it does eat into that fossil fuel demand, which includes into the gas, oil, and coal demand a little bit, a little bit. I think the economic background, when we do not have all economies firing on all cylinders, that's certainly the case today, and it's likely to be the case well into next year. That would argue for some moderation of these energy prices, and that would be good. So we've seen something of a partial reset in terms of commodity prices, and we could get more, and that would help to mitigate inflation pressures overall. And you know, I think that's really probably it, except if I take a really long-term view, and I've done this before. The United States, and in the United States, people are so pessimistic. Well, we've been over this before, but I think that while it's understandable, the situation really isn't quite so bad as people think. Now, it definitely isn't quite that bad in terms of the autonomies. The autonomies, remember, those are those quasi-autonomous principalities, those successful multinational companies. When I mentioned them at Basin Harbor, at the Contrary Opinion Forum, Walter Diemer, a very experienced analyst and old friend and contemporary of mine, said he, when I said that, he was thinking Nifty 50, Nifty 50, which the veteran subscribers will recall, reference to those top performing U.S. companies of several decades ago. But yes, there is a parallel there, but the autonomies, as I call them, are in an infinitely stronger position because they are big global players today. And they go where they see the growth, and so they should. And those are good investment choices, I think, for the long term. I noticed, I think, McDonald's hit another new all-time high today. Well, It's not doing it on the strength of demand at U.S. restaurants, although that's probably not too bad. But it's booming in Asia, despite a little bit of a slowdown. So again, going back to the U.S. economy, get the politics right, and that's a big if. And the political scene is toxic in the United States right now. But if we get some bipartisan common sense policies emerging over the next 12 months, and that may seem like a big if here today, but it will happen eventually. And I think one of the priorities is for the U.S. to develop its own energy resources. And yes, that'll contribute to CO2 emissions. And yes, extraction of fossil fuels is a dirty business. But again, technology can help in both those areas to mitigate the damage, environmental damage, and the risks. And it should do that. But we do want to extract that. We do want to develop that energy source. And that would put the U.S. into a position of energy self-sufficiency. That's something that was previously viewed only as a holy grail, but it's certainly obtainable at some point in the next decade. And on that note, folks, have a great weekend. All the best.